Naturally, the sages became inquisitive to understand the history of Bhagavatam. Where did Vyasadeva get inspiration to compile this Bhagavatam? When was it compiled? Where was it compiled? How was it compiled? He asked some questions about history of Bhagavatam. Second, the sages also asked a question about Parikshit Maharaj. We want to know about the birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj, who is the main hearer of this Bhagavatam. Third, they asked about Sukadeva Goswami. We also want to know how Sukadeva Goswami met Parikshit Maharaj. How did he come to Hastinapur? When did this meeting take place? So like that, they asked these three questions. So in the 4th, 5th and 6th chapters, Suta Goswami explains the history of Bhagavatam. What is the history? Vyasadeva has compiled all Vedic literatures. He divided one Veda into four, and he compiled different Puranas and Upanishads, and Mahabharata also he wrote. He employed some of his disciples to expand on these Vedas. So still he is not satisfied, and Narada Muni came and inspired him to compile Srimad Bhagavatam by repeatedly glorifying Krishna and Bhakti Yoga. And he gave his own example how Bhakti transformed his own life. In his previous life, as the son of a maid servant in the previous kalpa, he served Bhakti Vedantas and he came to the Prema stage in devotional service. He narrated his own previous life. So then Vyasadeva sat and compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So that question is answered. Next is birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. So he wanted to explain birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. He begins by saying that Ashwatthama killed 5 sleeping sons of Pandavas, and Arjuna took a vow to kill him. Arjuna captured him, but Draupadi forgave him, and Krishna was about to depart. When Krishna was about to depart, Ashwatthama released another Brahmastra to kill the son of Uttara, to kill Parikshit Maharaj. So Krishna entered the womb of Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj. Okay. And at that time, Kunti Maharani came forward and offered prayers and requested Krishna to stay back. And after her prayers, which are very long, Yudhishthira Maharaj became overwhelmed with a guilt that, my God, because of me only so much of massacre has happened to enthrone me as a king. So he was feeling so guilty, and my sin cannot be nullified by any amount of sacrifices or any other pious activities. So he was feeling like that. So Krishna could not pacify him. Vyasa could not pacify him. So Krishna takes him to Bhishmadev. So Bhishmadev pacifies him and gives him teachings on Raja Dharma, Moksha Dharma, Dana Dharma, Sri Dharma, etc. And when Bhishma enlightens him, Yudhishthira Maharaj was pacified, and Bhishma, meditating on Krishna, he departs from this world. So that's the subject matter up to 9th chapter. Now we will come to the 10th chapter. Yeah, what all events happened before Parikshit's birth. Actually, he was supposed to speak about birth, but he was just little sidetracked by Kunti's prayers and Bhishma's departure. And now Krishna is going to Dwarka. Shaunaka uvacha hitva svarikta sprudha atatayino yudhishthiro dharma bhrutam varishtaham sahanu jaihi pratyavaruddha bhojana katham pravritta hakimakkara shitata.
Shaunakamuni said,
read the translation.
Shaunakamuni asked, after killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhishthir, assisted by his brothers, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness.
So the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Sukadeva Saunaka Rishi, they asked Suta Goswami. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was enthroned on the seat of Hastinapur. So how did he rule? He was assisted by his brothers. Definitely he must not be ruling with unrestricted consciousness. He must be doing things nicely. So how exactly did he rule? Now you see, this whole chapter is describing first Yudhishthira Maharaj's rule briefly. Second, how Krishna departed from Hastinapur. That's the whole chapter. People were feeling separation, they were crying, and they were giving send-off, arranging military force, etc., etc. 11th chapter is dedicated to how Krishna entered Dwarka. So, the whole send-off episode must have happened for half an hour or 1 hour, or maybe a little more. And Krishna travelled and entered Dwarka, and the reception also must have happened for half an hour, 1 hour. But for these two events, two full chapters are dedicated. So you can see it's the style of the speakers of Bhagavatam. They may zoom into certain episodes very minutely. They may just fast forward 100 years in one verse. Right? 1 millennium in half verse. They can just summarize also. So wherever there is a need to elaborate, and whichever elaboration nourishes our consciousness with Krishna Bhakti, the speakers of Bhagavatam elaborate on that. Right? So, Bhagavatam is not chronological. It's not going at a reasonable pace. Bhagavatam, they're jumping. Right? Suddenly, right in the beginning, in the first canto only, Krishna's disappearance is described. And Krishna's birth comes in 10th canto, 1st chapter. Right? So it's not chronological, but whatever is needed for uplifting our human consciousness is there in Bhagavatam. So all these topics are not put in a chronological fashion or historically accurate fashion, but are reasonably emphasizing on everything. So every scene is not emphasized in a similar way. Some important scenes are elaborated, some scenes are fast forwarded, like that. So, here.
This conversation took place after around 1000 years of Krishna's disappearance, or immediately around, just approximate.
You are saying Sruta Goswami Naimisharanya?
Yes, bro. Because here they are doing for almost 1000 years sacrifice. Are they still doing?
No. It's not definitely not 1000 years. They began like that. They wanted to do. I'll tell you. When Kurukshetra war was going on, Balramji went for a pilgrimage. So he went to the same sages who were hearing from Romaharshan Sutta at that time. Then Romaharshan Sutta was killed by Balramji. Then Sruta Goswami started speaking. So from there discussion is happening. And by this time, Parikshit Maharaj already departed. So Krishna departed, after that Pandavas departed, after that Parikshit Maharaj was enthroned, and Parikshit Maharaj also ruled for a while, I think some number 35, 37, that figure is also mentioned. So after Parikshit Maharaj ruled for a while, and he also departed after hearing Sukadeva Goswami, then Sruta Goswami started speaking to this Naimisharanya sages. So it's like definitely few decades, definitely not 1000 years, it's few decades, at maximum 100 years, something like that. So, here Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling the kingdom, and he was not actually inclined to fight for his personal cause, but he fought only for the sake of rightful inheritance under the guidance of Krishna. So, but without his cousins, and cousins means this Duryodhan, Durshasana, and other people, he could not enjoy the victory, but he ruled as a matter of duty, because Yudhishthira Maharaj never had the heart to kill his cousins. Not that he is materially attached, but he just, as a dharmic person, as a soft-hearted devotee, he never was inclined to kill them. But as a matter of duty, he had to kill. That too, that was approved by Krishna. Right? So Suta Goswami here is explaining the behavior of Yudhishthira Maharaj upon the request of Savanakrishi. Savanakrishi inquired, definitely he must have ruled in a righteous consciousness, not unrestricted consciousness. We want to know how he exactly ruled. Krishna tested Yudhishthira Maharaj twice. Once by taking away everything, once by giving everything. When everything was taken away by Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj's consciousness was proper. When everything is given to him also, still he is proper consciousness. So we are tested for our humility in successes, and we are tested for our consistency during failures. When we fail in our attempts to achieve something, then how consistent are we? So Prabhupada, he was trying to establish a worldwide society for Krishna consciousness, and the struggle went for 40 full years. But still he was consistent in his efforts, even up to 70. After 70 he attained success. And when he became successful, still he is humble. He is humbly transferring credit to his disciples and his guru. So one should not become puffed up when there is success. One should not become discouraged and lose determination when there is failure. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a very typical example for this. So he did not become puffed up. So conditioned soul has a tendency to be carried away by the enjoying propensity when opulence is given. For example, Sugriva was given opulence by Ramachandra. So he was supposed to help Ramachandra in retrieving Mother Sita, in searching Mother Sita. But he forgot that. He was so engrossed in opulence, Lakshman had to remind him. He had to come and remind him by stringing his bow. So that's why Kunti Maharani is praying for calamities, because calamities keep us in proper consciousness. If there is a comfortable life, oftentimes there is a chance that we may forget Krishna. Oh, things are going on very well. We may not depend on Krishna. But calamities give us an opportunity to depend on Krishna. Okay. So, second. One verse, we already had 10 questions. I think we can postpone questions for some time. Let me complete some portion. Second verse. Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Vamsham kuror vamshadavagni nirhritam.
Vamsham kuror vamshadavagni nirhritam.
Samrohayitva bhavabhava nohari.
Samrohayitva bhavabhava nohari.
Niveshayitva nijarajya ishvaro.
Niveshayitva nijarajya ishvaro.
Yudhishthiram pritamanaba bhuvaha.
Yudhishthiram pritamanaba bhuvaha.
Suta Goswami said, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of the world, became pleased after re-establishing Maharaj Yudhishthir in his own kingdom and after restoring the Kuru dynasty, which had been exhausted by the bamboo fire of anger.
Kuru dynasty was exhausted by the bamboo fire of anger. When fire comes, bamboo will not survive. Everything is smashed. So material world is compared to forest fire, and that forest fire is generally caused by the friction between bamboos, right? That's why bamboo fire is mentioned. That's basically forest fire. This lording over mentality leads to the fire of war. In material world, different people try to lord over the material nature. One person says, I will become the king. Another person says, I will become the king. Two people cannot become the king, so they start fighting with each other. That's forest fire. So in the Rudra Gita purports, Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. Honeybee goes from one flower to another flower and collects a lot of honey and stores it in the beehive. So like that, when multiple bees are storing so much of honey in the beehive, and at the right time when they want to enjoy that honey, they were bitten by other bees. They also wanted to enjoy that honey. They also wanted to enjoy that honey. Similarly, a human being may collect money, not honey. So he will accumulate a lot of money, and when he is trying to enjoy that money, his relatives will come, his friends will come. And on a higher scale, one nation has accumulated so much money, another nation will come and plunder that money. So the conditioned soul cannot enjoy his own efforts also. Right? There is war. So Krishna's plan for creation is that he desires the mass of people to follow the right path of self-realization. And he wants the suffering human beings to come back to Godhead. Forget about this honey collection or money collection and fighting amongst each other. Just come back to spiritual world. Krishna descends to reclaim all these conditioned souls. So Krishna was extremely pleased to re-establish dharma by enthroning Yudhishthira Maharaj. When a righteous king, when a devotee king is ruling, he will ensure that all his citizens perform devotional service. And by performing devotional service, all these rebellious conditioned souls rotting in this material world will get a chance to go back to Godhead. So the purpose of creation, which is to give another chance to the conditioned soul to go back to Godhead, will be fulfilled when a devotee king rules. So devotee king facilitates for the devotional service of people. A drunkard king will open bars everywhere. Right? A sexmonger king will open brothel houses everywhere. Right? A meat eater king will have slaughterhouses launched everywhere. A devotee king will open temples everywhere. Right? So like that, depending on who is the ruler, the citizens will adopt that mood. Forcefully they are obliged to adopt that mood. Most of the citizens. So rulers play a significant role. So Krishna was very happy when Yudhishthira Maharaj was enthroned. So the most effective way of dharma is when the state takes it over. Lord was therefore fully satisfied when King Yudhishthira was on the throne and the seedling of the dynasty king, dynasty of Kuru, Parikshit was saved. Okay. So Lord is Atmanam. Why he has to be satisfied seeing a living entity ruling this material world? It is his eagerness. It is the eagerness of a father to reunite with the children. And this elder brother is helping the younger brothers to come back to the father. That's what a devotee guiding another devotee, or a devotee king, Rajarshi king, ruling the citizens is. Then third verse. Nishamya bhishmoktam athachyutoktam.
Nishamya bhishmoktam athachyutoktam.
Pravritta vijnana vidhuta vibhrama. Shashashakam
Indra
Ivarjitashraya Paridhyupantam Anujanu Vartitaham.
Maharaj Yudhishthir, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Dev and Lord Shri Krishna, the infallible, engaged himself in the matters of perfect knowledge. Because all his misgivings were eradicated. Thus he ruled over the earth and seas and was followed by his younger brothers.
Nishamya bhishmoktam atha achyutoktam. Bhishmoktam means what has been taught to him by Bhishma. Achyutoktam means whatever is spoken to him by Krishna. Nishamya, after hearing these two, he started ruling. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling with perfect knowledge, free from all misgivings. Because the knowledge that Yudhishthira Maharaj acquired is from right sources, Bhishma and Krishna. So the rulership was based on the law of inheritance by firstborn. In the initial days, in those days, there is monarchy, not democracy. And why monarchy was given prominence? Generally, the kings would train their children and their descendants properly as a kshatriya and shape their lives according to the values that they have imbibed. So generally, a kshatriya's son also developed kshatriya qualities because there is proper training in the Vedic days. Generally, some exceptions may be there, but in general it's like that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling here, and like the demigods for their planets, Yudhishthira Maharaj was an ideal representative of Krishna for this planet, Earth. So when a demigod is ruling a planet, he is a representative of Krishna in that planet. So this earthly planet was represented by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? Krishna's representative in this earthly planet has become Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj was not a typically unenlightened political leader of modern democracy. He was instructed by Bhishma and Krishna, and therefore he had full knowledge of everything in perfection. So like that, Prabhupada enumerates several qualities of an ideal ruler or executive head. So he is the perfect follower of an infallible authority. So how can my actions be bona fide when I am following another bona fide authority? Then I can be called bona fide. When I have heard from another bona fide authority, when I am implementing what I have heard from this bona fide authority, I can be called bona fide authority. Otherwise I am not bona fide. So one should not have any manufactured ideology with selfish motives. Okay. Prabhupada writes, the conception of one world state can be fulfilled if we can follow the infallible authority. Only the perfect and infallible can create a program which is applicable at every place and can be followed by everyone in this world. It is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. So the citizens are influenced by the ruler. The children are influenced by the parents. The disciples adopt the mood of guru. So the leader, whether he is a guru or whether he is a father or a ruler, so the leader plays an important role by in shaping up the lives of his dependents. So an ideal leader is one who helps his dependents to come out of the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, he should not become a leader only, according to Rishabhadev. Gururna sasyat, svajanona sasyat, pitana sasyat, jananeena sasyat, daivamna sasyat, na patischa sasyat, na mochaye deha samupetam vrittim. If you cannot deliver your dependent from the cycle of birth and death, better don't become a father, don't become a mother, don't become a guru, don't become a demigod, don't become a relative, like that. He says. And if someone happens to become like that, his dependents have full right to reject him. Right? For example, gururna sasyat. One should not become a guru if you cannot deliver dependents on from by a cycle of birth and death. That's the principle there. So Sukracharya was teaching Bali Maharaj against the devotional service of Vishnu. So Bali Maharaj rejected Sukracharya. Gururna sasyat. Svajanona sasyat. A relative can be rejected if he is not a devotee. Who is that? Vibhishan rejected Ravana. Pitana sasyat. Who rejected his father? Prahalad. Jananeena sasyat. Who rejected mother? Not Lakshman. Bharat rejected. Then Jananeena sasyat. Patirna sasyat. Who rejected husband? Wives of Brahmanas, perfect. In 10th canto, 23rd chapter. Very good. It's a very good audience, I can see. Yeah. So Janavana Sasyat, Pitayana Sasyat, Janavana Sasyat, Daivamana Sasyat. Who rejected a demigod? Prajavasis, they rejected Indra. Daivamana Sasyat, Na Patisya Sasyat, Na Mochaya. Like that, there are different people who rejected their rulers or fathers or whatever, their superiors, if they are not devotees of the Lord. Yes, you have Kanakai Prabhu.
Some people are glorifying, but their chastity, even the smell is not so good, like Brahmas.
There are some exceptions. There are some exceptions. It's not, see, they rejected in the sense that they did not approve their activities. They just stick to their chastity towards husband. But they never approved. When Ravana died, Ramandodari came and lamented for husband's death, but she never encouraged her activities. Because she is a chaste lady, she knows the power of chastity of Sita. Because you have offended chaste Sita, you met this end. Like that. So there are some people. Fourth, kamam vavarsha parjanyaham sarva kamadu ghamahim sushichihi sma Vrajan Gavaham Payasyo Dhavitir Mudam Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the clouds were raining profusely, nicely, whatever is needed, not too much and not too less. Sarva Kama Dugha Mahi. Mahi means this earth is providing all kinds of necessities that the citizens may need. Shuchihisma Vrajan Gavaha. Gavaha means cows. Cows were so satisfied with the rule and with the grass that they get, with the maintenance that their maintenance were providing. The cows would moisten the lands with their milk. Right? Because their udders were so full, there is a lot of milk, profuse amount of milk. Abundant quantity of milk is just pouring down from their udders and moistening the pasturing grounds also. So, payasyo dha vasatir muda. So, muda means very joyful. Cows are very joyful in Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom. So, Prabhupada writes that the basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. Simple living and high thinking. King and all subjects should obey and please the Lord to get regulated rainfalls. So, there is a need to protect innocent animals, especially the cows. So, Prabhupada elaborates in each paragraph different points of the verse only. So, about rainfall, about cow protection, and about economic development. So, land and cows. These are the most important factors for economic development. If the cows are taken care, they will give profuse amounts of milk, and that will train one's, that will nourish one's brains, tissues and the body, and you will also get ghee from that, and you can perform sacrifices to that, and because of that sacrifices, the rains will come, and rains will nourish the lands, and grains will come, grains will nourish the people. So like that, it's all full cycle. So land and cows. So cow is considered the most important creature in the Lord's creation. An autocracy like Yudhishthira's is far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and man less than animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man. So this is the description of democracy by Prabhupada. Next, we have one ruler who is trained nicely instead of another ruler who is elected by foolish people. And the ruler is not trained nicely, he just somehow manages to get some votes and then he sits on the throne. That is, that Prabhupada often discourages. And Prabhupada mentions another important point, that a ruler is supposed to be dvija, twice born. Everybody is born of parents, that is like first birth. A ruler, a kshatriya, is supposed to receive second birth also by initiation, spiritual initiation. In the Vedic days, every single king has a guru who guides him in spiritual practices and religious practices, dharma, who teaches him dharma, who teaches him dharmic way of ruling the kingdom. So the guru, the Rajaguru, stays in the kingdom to guide the king to properly rule the citizens and give him consultancy. So when that consultancy is not taken from Brahmanas, Kshatriyas cannot rule properly. When initiation is not taken, when Kshatriyas do not take initiation from bona fide spiritual masters and they live as once born people only, what kind of rule they will do? That is, in Kali Yuga most people are once born people. Most rulers are once born, not twice born. They don't have any initiation from a spiritual, bona fide spiritual master. Right? They don't have even a proper dharmic consultant also, many times. So that makes the world situation very chaotic. Nadyaha samudra girayaham suvanaspati virudaham falanti oshadayas sarvaham kamam anvritu tasyavai. The rivers, the oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers and active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king. in profusion. So, means basically his kingdom is very prosperous. Because of Lord's protection, all the properties of the Lord paid taxes to Yudhishthir. Artificial instrumental engagements, arrangements, without Lord's sanction ultimately leads to failure. So actually there is enough for everybody in this creation. Even African jungles also have so much of food where elephants can survive. Ant can survive by a piece of grain it may get in a day. So Krishna has created this world in such a way that all the residents of this world can get sufficient food without so much of prayasa, so much of endeavor. But because of greed of certain human beings, there is an imbalance and poverty that is created in this world. Control of the Lord is everywhere, and if the Lord is pleased, every part of nature will be pleased. The secret of success is to take refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. And if you worship the Supreme Lord, then the Lord is pleased and the nature is pleased, and you will get all prosperity from the nature in profusion. Recognize the Lord as the creator and proprietor of everything and use everything properly for His pleasure. So perform yajna and please the Lord and become prosperous. The artificial way of living, depending on factories and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at a cost of millions. Only some people are enjoying in the modern world, not everybody. Anyway, sixth. Nadhayo vyadhayah klesham. Daiva bhutatma hetavaham. Ajata shatrav abhavam. Jantu naam ragni karhichit. Read.
Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold.
So there were no mental agony or diseases for the citizens. So the subjects of Yudhishthira were also happy. Prabhupada says, freedom from enmity also involves no killing of poor animals. When someone is killing an animal and then eating its flesh, it's a reflection of his envy in the heart. Right? Yudhishthira was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages and a recognized agent of the Lord. This conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhishthira, can bring about happiness, peace and prosperity in this world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of the day, will only bring misery. So there is a cooperation between man, nature and God. God controls the nature and man also. If man worships the God, and God will give prosperity to the man through the nature. So like that, there is a cooperation between these three. So what we have to do with environmentalism, etc., it is the consciousness that which matters, not just the external activity. So he told in Sradhana Swami Maharaj, when he is giving the vision for Govardhan Eco Village, he said, Bhumi Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And our lifestyles and our whole conducting our life in this world should be in such a way that we do not exploit the resources of Mother Earth by forcefully just taking out production from her. But our lifestyle should be in such a way that we protect her and utilize her gifts which she naturally provides us when we serve Krishna. When the son is serving father, mother is happy to help the son. Right? When the son is rebellious of the father, a chaste wife cannot support that activities. Although she is kind and compassionate, but still she cannot support a rebellious person. Right? She wants to punish her. One slap. One slap means one famine, one drought. Right? When the child goes and then beats father, for example. What will mother do? Mother will kiss the child or what? Mother will slap the child. So Mother Nature, what she will do? She will withdraw her resources. and the living entities will suffer like that. When people see peaceful atmosphere like this and devotees are also practicing Krishna consciousness, then they will be inspired. So when there is a cooperation between nature and man with Krishna in the center, then it is wonderful. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very expert and successful in keeping his citizens happy because he knows the art of making Krishna happy. If Krishna is happy, if the root is watered and all the twigs and plants and fruits and flowers, all of them are also watered, they are also nourished. His citizens are happy because he is a devotee of the Lord. Right? In this seventh chapter of first canto, one verse comes. This verse, you know, Atma Ramaschamanyo Nirgrantha Avyurukrame Kurvanta Ahitukim Bhakti Mitta Bhuta Guna Harihi. The next verse is Harer Gunakshipta Matihi. Krishna's qualities attract even self-realized souls. That's what Atma Rama verse says. Correct? You know that verse, no? The next verse is Harer Gunakshipta Matihi Bhagavan Badarayanihi Adhyagan Mahadakhyanam Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha. Getting attracted by the qualities of Hari, Sukadeva Goswami became so absorbed in those qualities. Harer Guna Akshipta Matihi. He was absorbed, his mind was absorbed in the qualities of the Lord. What is the last line? Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha. He became so dear to all the devotees of the Lord. And all the devotees of the Lord became so dear to him. We may give relationship seminars. We may find out various means how people can come together and cooperate with each other and have nice friendships and relationships. But the best way of connecting with each other, best way to have healthy Vaishnava relationships is to love Krishna. To become absorbed in the qualities of Krishna. If Harer Gunakshipta Matihi happens, Nityam Vishnu Janapriya also will happen. Right? So one's accomplishments may impress other people to some extent. But what impresses people more is the qualities of the person, not the accomplishments of the person. Harer Guna Akshipta Matihi. So Sukadeva Goswami got absorbed by the qualities of Krishna. So when we get attracted to the qualities of Krishna, then we imbibe those qualities. Right? We exhibit those qualities. Not controllership, not those qualities, but Krishna's humility, gentleness. There are so many finer qualities of his personality. Right? Kindness, compassion, this kind of qualities. Then all those qualities will reflect in our dealings with other people. And we also recognize other people are also parts and parcels of Krishna. You love Krishna and you love Krishna's parts and parcels. Love me dog, they say, right? So if you love Krishna, you love those who are connected to Krishna. Who is disconnected from Krishna? Everybody is connected with Krishna. They may forget it, but everybody is connected with Krishna. Thus, a pure devotee's vision of people and objects of this world is Krishna conscious vision. He will see everything in connection with Krishna. He loves those objects and persons. And because he is loving, they will also love. So devotee will become dhira adhira jana priyo priyakaro. So to have nice relationships with each other, especially amongst devotees, we need to learn to love Krishna and get attracted to the qualities of Krishna. That's the message, or that's the formula given by Bhagavatam. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is a lover of Krishna. All his citizens are very happy. Mother Nature is happy. Cows are happy. Everybody is happy in Yudhishthira's rule because he loves Krishna, simple. If we love Krishna, everybody will be happy with us and we will be happy with everybody. It's the ideal stage. So now, on a practical stage, different things will happen in different ways. But ultimately, we need to love Krishna. We need to learn to love Krishna. Thank you. Grantharashtra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.